You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Chicago Bears are thrilled to be 2-0, but Matt Nagy knows the team still has work to do if they want to sustain this success throughout the rest of the season. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today's podcast is brought to you by Visa. Help support your local businesses. Whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops, local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be. Official partner of the NFL. On today's podcast, we'll hear from head coach Matt Nagy on Anthony Miller's diminishing role and some of the mistakes he made on offense that led to a zero-catch performance. We'll also find out a little bit more about Robert Quinn's impact on this Bears defense and why his role in the outside linebacker rotation might remain limited, at least in the short term. But we'll start with Matt Nagy admitting to maybe taking the foot off the gas a little bit more than he would have wanted to in the second half against the Giants that led to New York bringing that one a little bit closer than it really should have been. You could kind of feel the energy coming out of Soldier Field in that second half on Sunday when, you know, the Bears had a couple of turnovers in there, the Giants able to get some points on the board in that second half for the first time all game. And a team that it looked like the Bears were going to shut out and dominate in the first half brought it within a one-possession game for a lot of that second half. And the Bears never even found the end zone or anywhere on the scoreboard in those final two quarters. And it's easy, right, when you're watching it live to say, well, Matt Nagy should have done this, this, and this better. And we talked a little bit yesterday about how it felt like with the flow of the game, like those two interceptions really loomed large and I think were the big turning points for the Giants. And neither one was a particularly bad decision by Mitch Trubisky. Some of it is just kind of bad luck in those situations. But regardless, it does give the Giants the ball back. Even if it's not Mitch's fault, it still happened. It's still a turnover and it still changes a lot of the momentum of this game. But in between that, there was a long drive that ended in a punt for the Bears in Giants territory. And later on in the fourth quarter as well, the Bears were kind of, you know, pulling that draw out the clock type mode and coming up on a couple of third down situations that they just weren't able to convert. And that's, I think, where Matt Nagy shoulders some of the blame and points the finger at himself, feeling like maybe he got a little bit too predictable with some run pass predictability play calling in that situation, and also just wanting to try maybe a couple of different plays if he could have it back.
It's kind of when the game's over, you go back and you start looking at where you're at. Like for me as a play caller, you say, okay, we have this aggressing and attacking mentality that we're using this whole year. And so when you go into the second half, that doesn't mean that you have to be throwing it all the time to do that. Now, when you have that lead, you want to be able to still be balanced. You don't want to be one-dimensional via the pass, and you don't want to be one-dimensional via the run. What I would say is I was okay with how things went in the third initially. I do wish I had a couple play calls back. There was a couple times, even after I called it, I kind of, you know, you get that feeling you wish you would have had one or two of those back. But then I also say, okay, there's some plays where there's some execution to be made, right? Where we can make some plays and keep that thing going. So we'll keep working through that. But the foot on the gas or foot off the gas, it obviously looks like that now. And we want to make sure we as coaches, myself included, don't do that and that we give our guys the best opportunity.
I was surprised to hear Nagy candidly admit as much as he did there, you know, 24 hours after the game, having been able to review it, even saying that in the moment, like he called a couple plays and felt like, I wish I could have called something else. like immediately after calling it. I think that's a level of honesty we don't always get from a lot of NFL head coaches, and I respect Matt Nagy for it. But he's right, too, that execution from players plays a factor in this. I mean, obviously, he can call the best play in the world, and if they don't run it properly, it's not going to be successful, right? But I don't know. I come back to, like, well, if, you know, that first pass from Trubisky gets batted and incomplete instead of intercepted, you know, which, again, is a completely luck and fluke at that point once the ball is up in the air, that wouldn't give the Giants the ball at the 25-yard line and potentially takes away a field goal opportunity there. Or even if, you know, he throws that jump ball to Allen Robinson in the fourth quarter, and if Robinson catches it, or even if it just falls incomplete instead of having to actually end up turning over the football, and again, Giants take that and drive down and score a field goal, you know, those two things right there, where it's not even somebody executed particularly poorly, it's just sort of the game of football flows in those different ways. Or even Eddie Jackson's interception. I think Matt Nagy was not going to be critical of the referees publicly, but he basically said he wasn't crazy about that call in much, much nicer terms. And so if any of those things go differently, I think it's a very different narrative about this Bears game and about, you know, taking the foot off the gas and whatnot, because you want your head coach to run the ball when you have a lead in the second half. I mean, you're up 17-0 at halftime. If Matt Nagy had come out passing aggressively and they have a couple incomplete passes and go three and out or something, then Matt Nagy's going to be critical for, why aren't you running the ball? Why are you being so aggressive? Like, it feels like it's hard for him to do right in that regard, because you're either running it too much or you're not running it enough. And so I think I don't put a ton of blame on Matt Nagy. I think he deserves, you know, some criticism and needs to be better at making sure that they do stay aggressive and they do convert some of those third down situations in the second half that they felt like they were coming up short on here and there. But, you know, there's a drop pass from Anthony Miller in there. It comes back to the execution in that regard. And I think overall, taking the foot off the gas in the second half there is a concern, and maybe more so defensively than offensively, but I don't think it's this potential Achilles heel that's going to kill the Bears down the line. I am a little bit concerned, though, about the way Anthony Miller is trending down after a really disappointing Week 2 performance, not only with the drops, but as it turns out, there were a couple other mistakes built in there that I think led to his lack of playing time. Find out why Matt Nagy says he's not that concerned about Miller moving forward next on Locked On Bears. That Bears offense in the first half, and really the whole team, defense was really firing on all cylinders as well. The whole thing looked like a well-oiled machine. And nobody knows more about well-oiled machines than our friends at rockauto.com. They're a family business, and they've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Their selection in their catalog is incredible. Everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So whether you're fixing up a classic car in the garage or just need something new for your daily commuter, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. You might not know that some chain stores actually have different prices if you're a professional mechanic versus just a do-it-yourselfer at home. But rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody. So don't spend up to twice as much for the same parts. Just go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. This year was supposed to be Anthony Miller's breakout year. And last year was supposed to be Anthony Miller's breakout year. And maybe to some extent his rookie season was also supposed to be his breakout year. And, you know, first game against the Lions, 4 catches, 76 yards and a touchdown, a beautiful touchdown over the top. Felt like, okay, we're cooking now and this is just the beginning. But then, of course, against the Giants, 3 targets, no catches, a pair of drops in there. And once the snap count data came out after the game, he had the fewest snaps of any Bears wide receiver, if you don't include Cordarrelle Patterson, since he's playing running back most of the time. Darnell Mooney had more snaps. Javon Wims had more snaps than Anthony Miller against the New York Giants, which is definitely a concern for your 2017 second-round pick, who, by all accounts, is fully healthy. And as you know, his wide receivers coach said, this was like the first year he really was like locked in and focused on the playbook and all the details and really able to trust him more so than he could in years past. And all of a sudden against the Giants, it's just one game, but it kind of feels like we're a little bit back to the earlier Anthony Miller that isn't quite that reliable guy that the Bears can count on, even though he's so talented, so skilled, incredible route runner, usually pretty good hands, but that was obviously not the case on Sunday. A guy that just gets open and makes plays both before and after the catch. That was not there. And the Bears are going to need more from their other wide receivers, especially in a game when Allen Robinson is limited to just three catches because the Giants are really focusing in on him. Overall, it's a concern. At least it seems like a concern for us on the outside. But Matt Nagy's doing his best to downplay it a little bit. And I almost wonder if this is to try and protect Anthony Miller a little bit more than anything, because it doesn't seem like it quite 100% adds up.
The third and six, he was short on his route, so he cut it short. It probably looked like Mitch was late, but he was short on the depth of his route. So, again, I go back to details, and 17 knows that, you know, he knows that. He understands that. He knew it right away. And you know, really the way I look at it is I go back to that, the drop in the end zone where Mitch just threw a really good ball. And if he comes down with that, who knows confidence wise how that turns for him the rest of the game. But that's a part of football, being able to bounce back after a drop. So it just was one of those games. He didn't have as many attempts or targets, I would say, but he'll bounce back. I look forward to it. And he's a competitor. He cares and he wants to help the team win. I'm not sure, like, when you have Wims and Anthony Miller, and Wims has a few more snaps than Anthony, that's not by necessity. Some of that is just dictated by what you're in personnel wise. You know, you can see the last couple of games, we've been a little bit more of, you know, than what you guys are used to in regards to 12 personnel and 13 personnel. So there's just less wide receivers at times. But I think we're pretty close as to where we want it to be, is to answer your question. And then we just got to see as we go how that fits with, you know, it's kind of a juggling act a little bit, which is okay, but we got to be good with that.
Matt Nagy's right in the sense that they use Anthony Miller almost exclusively as a slot wide receiver. And so if you're going to have more than one tight end on the field on any given play, you're probably not going to have a wide receiver in the slot. Because if you have two tight ends and out of your five skill position players, you are almost never going to go two tight ends and three wide receivers. So if you go two or three tight ends and a couple receivers, unless you're going to do twin receivers where one is in the slot and one's on the outside, that's your only opportunity for Miller to get in on the field in some of those situations. So if he's not going to be an outside guy, it's going to be Robinson and Mooney as your outside guys, and Wims sort of your first fill-in outside guy off of the bench. So to some extent, he's right in that being able to use these tight ends more and play with some heavier personnel packages are going to take some snaps away from Anthony Miller. Absolutely. But I also feel like if Anthony Miller was a guy you really trusted and really felt like he is going to be a playmaking difference maker on the field, you're going to call fewer multiple tight end snaps because you want to get your five best players, your five best receivers on the field, your five best offensive weapons. Sometimes you want the blocking, don't get me wrong, but you want to get your good players on the field as much as possible. And if you feel like Anthony Miller, as we've seen the talent, he can be a difference maker. You know, we saw last year a couple of those big 100-yard games where he was just impossible to cover, and anytime Trubisky could hit him, he was going to make big plays. Like, Anthony Miller is capable of great things, and you want to get as many opportunities for your player who's capable of making great things. You make playing time for the players that deserve it. And so, to some extent, I don't buy that answer completely from Matt Nagy, because if they were really, truly, you know, on board and satisfied with Anthony Miller and feel like he can still do everything they want him to do and really felt like he could be more of a difference maker right now, they would find playing time for him. You get him on the field because he helps you win ball games. So I do think there's more to it than this. And he's not going to come out and chastise Miller publicly. I mean, he pointed out his mistakes and acknowledged that, yes, Miller knows he made those mistakes, and I think he handled it the right way, but I don't think it's as simple as Matt Nagy saying, nothing to see here, this is normal, this is exactly how we want it. I think in an ideal world, if you're the Bears, Anthony Miller is playing so well that you can't just keep him off the field, and you have to call more plays with Anthony Miller on the field, because otherwise you're wasting a really good talent on the bench. But because he's struggling, that's what makes it easier for the Bears to play Javon Wims more and play more of these multi-tight end sets and do some different things offensively, because you don't feel like you have to get Anthony Miller on the field because he's making some of these mistakes, doesn't quite have the same focus, and ultimately is seeing his role diminish as a result. But he wasn't the only big-time Bears playmaker in a limited role on Sunday, and I'm really kind of curious to see how this shapes up moving forward with Robert Quinn as he recovers from his injury and slowly gets worked back into the mold. Up next on the podcast, Matt Nagy will explain the type of value Robert Quinn adds to this defense and how they're handling his slow recovery. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. We saw on Sunday how much of a game changer Robert Quinn can be for this Chicago Bears defense, and I can't help but feel like Built Bars are a game changer in the world of protein bars. Because I mean it when I say Built Bars are the best tasting protein bar ever. I know that's not measurable, but all of my friends that I've had tried them love them. And they're always like, I don't know if it's not, you know, I'm like, dude, it tastes like a candy bar. The chocolate caramel one, or the caramel brownie tastes like a Milky Way. They're like, I don't know about that. And then they eat one and they're like, dude, I got to buy a box of these. And they do. I've gotten multiple friends to order Built Bars because they taste so good. And they're so good for you. I mean, the macronutrients in there, just unbeatable. 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar, 130 calories, 4 grams of carbohydrates. It's got everything you need and none of that extra garbage that you don't. Trust me. Try it for yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, locked on, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. We talked on Friday's game plan podcast that Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack were going to have big games against the New York Giants. That offensive line was just begging for it at this point, and they delivered. 3 plays into the game, it was Robert Quinn's forced fumble, a sack fumble that Khalil Mack obviously recovered, and the two of them were able to get after the passer pretty consistently through the game when they were on the field. And that was the asterisk for Robert Quinn in particular, who's still coming off of that ankle injury from the offseason that kind of popped up a little bit mysteriously. He ended up playing 25 snaps in this game out of the 65 that the Bears defense was on the field for. And I thought it was particularly notable that of those 25 snaps, 24 of them were passing plays. Like, the Bears don't know what the play call is going to be when they put Robert Quinn out there, but they only had him on the field for one running play the entire game. It's honestly pretty impressive by Chuck Pagano to be able to kind of feel out the right situations. Some of that's luck, too. I mean, I don't know that they were intentionally only trying to get him in on passing downs, but that's where his value is, right? That's why you bring in Robert Quinn, is to rush the passer. And so he was able to do that 24 times, and he had a sack and a hit, as well as a number of plays where he beats the offensive lineman, but Daniel Jones was getting rid of the ball pretty quickly, and so Quinn can't physically pressure the quarterback because the ball is out, but he still won his one-on-one pass rushing rep. So excellent performance from Robert Quinn, albeit only in a little bit less than half of the game. For comparison, Khalil Mack played 54 snaps out of 65. So plenty for him. And he, again, a sack and 5 quarterback hurries on 39 pass rushes. He more than got the job done for this Bears defense. But it just changes the dynamics when you have Quinn as that other bookend pass rusher opposite Mack. And you'd really notice the drop off when Barcavius Mingo and James Vaughters come in. And they played, let's see, Vaughters played 24 snaps and Mingo played 27, a whole Khalil Mack's worth of snaps from those two guys when you'd like to see them be Robert Quinn, but the Bears kind of have to be cautious about this. And Matt Nagy explained that they're going to be cautious about it moving forward before, I think, adding some pretty good color to a guy like Robert Quinn that we don't know a lot about. Matt Nagy gave us a pretty good scouting report on Robert Quinn, the person.
You know, the first play, he goes out there and he gets that strip sack. That's what he's been doing in camp when he's out there. You can feel how long he's got, really long arms, and he cuts that leverage down, or he's got that bend going around there. He stays so low. It's hard for tackles. And then he has some counter moves off of that. So again, when you have 52 and 94 on the edge, and not, you got Hicks and some of these other guys pushing the middle, I thought that our defensive line, including our outside linebackers on the edge, I thought they worked well in tandem yesterday. The 20-something snaps that Robert Quinn was in there, I think, is just right now as he comes back in with that. But you can feel, and you got to know when he's out there on that field, that he can be coming around that edge pretty fast. And now you got Khalil on the other side, and that's why he's here. To me, the very first time that I talked to him, you could just sense that just by the way he talks, he's country, and he's just kind of – he'll tell you every time you see him, whenever I see him in the hallways here at Hallis and or at lunch or something, ask him how his day's going. He always starts it off with pretty good because I woke up today. So he's real simple. You know, he's just very simple. But he's not simple when he gets out there on that football field. So I think he doesn't say a whole lot. He does. You'll see him on the sidelines yesterday. If you see the sideline copy, you'll see he's up, he's jumping up and down when he's on the sideline, when he's not out there, he's really into the team aspect. He cares about his teammates. And again, he just wants to win. So the person is just, other than just saying, he just kind of talks slow when he talks, and he just country, happy to be able to play football and just do what you tell me to do, coach. That's kind of how he is. What you got to love it. And his teammates love it. And we're lucky to have him.
I never really knew much about Robert Quinn, the person and the personality. So I was really surprised to hear Matt Nagy describe him as country. That just, I mean, I had no impression whatsoever of Robert Quinn in any direction, but I guess that wasn't what I was expecting. I don't think of like premier pass rushers necessarily as big country guys, but like, cool. I mean, Robert Quinn sounds like a fun guy, a positive guy to have in this locker room, and certainly an asset to this Bears defense. Because you saw the difference it made, not only in the sack forced fumble, but being able to rush for, not having to blitz as much, being able to have Quinn, Mack, and Hicks do a lot of damage to an offensive line, making whoever the fourth guy's job a lot easier. You know, I think Robertson Harris benefited from that combination quite a bit in this one in particular. Even a guy like Bilal Nichols got some action in there too. So I really think this was the focal point of the offseason, at least for the defense, for Ryan Pace, feeling like upgrade Leonard Floyd, and that's going to be the big difference, especially as they go through some transition in the secondary as well. But they want to rush the passer. We saw the big difference from week one to week two when you have that other complementary pass rusher, what it can do against Daniel Jones. The only other thing is that, yes, it was the Giants' offensive line that allowed the most pressure of any team in week one and certainly didn't do much better in week two. So we need to see this continue. We need to see them have this kind of pass rushing success against better offensive lines that they may face in the future. But that's going to be the identity of this Bears defense. They're going to continue to need other guys not named Quinn, Mack, and Hicks to step up. Like, if you can kind of alternate, like, if Bilal Nichols has a good game here, Robertson Harris has a good game there, James Vaughters has a good game here, and Barcavis Mingo maybe puts one together at some point, you know, you can sort of add up to, like, covering the majority of your games. If you can just get one from each of the other guys in your front seven, you know, I think you can kind of piece together a pretty strong defensive season. And through 2 weeks, we're already seeing the Bears off to a pretty good start, albeit against two lesser opponents. That, to me, is the big question mark about this team moving forward, is how well will they do? How will they be able to sustain this success when they play a team a little bit better than the Lions and the Giants? I think the Falcons are still kind of a question mark as to how much better than the Lions and the Giants they're going to be this season after a pretty terrible collapse and finish last week against the Cowboys, and two tough games for them, Seahawks and Cowboys, to start the season. But they scored a lot of points and gave up even more points for 2 weeks. So they're a big question mark coming into this week. And I'm excited to get the details on them from our friend Aaron Freeman from Locked On Falcons, who will join us for this week's Crossover Thursday podcast. So make sure that you subscribe to Locked On Bears to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Later on this week, we're also going to be joined by Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus, because he wrote an article about why he thinks the Bears can be a playoff team with Mitch Trubisky playing this well. And so I want to kind of get his take on the ups and downs of Trubisky and whether or not what we've seen so far is sustainable. So I think tentatively that podcast will go on Friday, but we're still ironing out a few of the details there. But plenty more in-depth daily Chicago Bears news and analysis coming for you all week long. I really appreciate everybody who tunes in, especially those of you that are in here every day grinding with us 5 days a week. You are the true diehards of the Locked On Bears podcast, and especially compared to other people that might not listen quite as often, you get even more opportunities to bear down.